Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.
Innermost is supported by Vodafone. Whether it's friends, family, or, in our case, complete strangers, keeping connected has never been so important. Which is where Vodafone's unlimited data plans come in. To find out more, head over to vodafone.co.uk.
This is Innermost, a podcast about strangers and their secret lives. And I'm Leah Green, your host. In this second episode, I talk to two people who are reassessing themselves. One is looking back to a past he would rather forget, and another to a future with her newfound self.
After leaving university, still I was drinking. Slowly but surely over the years, that sort of gets more and more still. Oh, days in the week and then every day of the week.
I was complying with pressure, I felt, because I thought, like, everyone else is doing this. If I don't do this as well, then I'll be alone. And that was my nightmare. That was, like, the worst-case scenario for me.
A few weeks ago, I had my second wedding anniversary. And it had come and gone without much fanfare. One night I'm just driving around and on the radio there's this track and I fell in love with that music right away.
Don't take this the wrong way, but your smartphone is cleverer than you. The clue is in its name. Well, that and a new project to fight COVID-19 that uses the almighty processing power that goes untapped at night. And they're not talking about your brain. Working with Imperial College London, the Vodafone Foundation's DreamLab app utilises people's mobiles while they sleep to create a virtual supercomputer. If they can get 100,000 people to fire up the app nightly for 3 months, they can analyse potential COVID-19 treatments that would take Imperial supercomputers a year. The more people who take part, the quicker it will be to do the vital research to help fight COVID-19. So show your smartphone who's the real brains of the operation. Turn it into part of the Dream Team, because that's the cleverest decision anyone can make. To download the app, search for DreamLab in your phone's app store. Legal terms apply. See vodafone.co.uk/DreamLab. The Vodafone Foundation is a registered charity.
Hi. My name is Claudia Fernandini. I'm 32 years old. I live in Lima, Peru, and this is my story.
Hello, world. My name is Serhat, and I am 19. I am from Turkey.
My name is Priyam Marik. I'm 22 years old and currently completing a postgraduate degree in journalism at the University of Sussex. Cut to a quiet afternoon in late March, and as I am cooped up in my university dormitory, something happens. I begin to introspect.
Oh, hello, John speaking.
Hi, John, it's Leia from The Guardian. John is not this caller's real name.
I've been attending now an Alcoholics Anonymous for a year.
Tell me how this period has kind of affected you.
The effect of not being in the same room as your friends in the fellowship, if you like, does have an effect. It's not, the actual meetings online aren't quite as powerful, I would say, because I personally find that there's a spiritual angle to a group of people in the same room where they share stories.
And what do you think lockdown would have been like for you if you weren't sober?
Oh, it would have been horrendous. I mean, you know, actually, I mean, during lockdown anyway, being sober, with my depression as well, which, you know, is still an issue, I had a bad couple of weeks where I've not been sleeping and not been eating properly and all sorts. And then that feeds into the alcoholism because my thinking started to turn a little bit towards drinking again. And then I quickly rendered these photographs of all the badness in my head and realised, no, we're not going to do that again. But in answer to your question, I mean, it's hard to think where I would be. I think I'd been drinking more. I would have been more of a nuisance to the police, maybe others if I saw anybody and what have you. I'm possibly dead.
Hi.
Hi, Federica, it's Leia. I called Federica at her apartment in Rome. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. You had an exam yesterday?
Yes, I still have the next part of the exam tomorrow. So it's a long process.
So tell me about the Federica before lockdown began. What were you like?
Yeah, before this period, my life was completely different because basically I'm a university student and I basically struggled through my weeks just waiting for the weekend to arrive and I just spent Friday night and Saturday night out with my friends and it was a lot of build up to the weekend, a lot of expectations just to have fun and get this release, which actually, in retrospect, I realized never came. I used to consider my personality on the basis of what other people believed I was as a person. And I realized with this shutdown that when no one's around, I struggle to define myself because there is no one to tell me who I am.
When you were focusing on what other people thought and defining yourself that way, what image did you want to project?
I got stuck in a weird place where, I was constantly trying to get people's attention, and was mostly men's attention by means of a certain kind of clothing and wearing a lot of makeup. You know, I used to spend a lot of money on that stuff, and I realized through this period that the stuff kind of doesn't matter and it's kind of useless because at the end of the day it doesn't define me.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
Can you remember the first, like, how old were you when you started to realize that how you looked and what men thought of you was like a kind of currency? When did you start realizing the kind of power behind that?
Well, I think it was around 18 years old when I really started hanging out with my friends at bars and pubs, and I remember hearing men make comments about me, which were really nice. They were kind of sleazy, is that how you say it?
Sleazy, yeah.
Yeah, kind of sexual in nature and also really inappropriate, because obviously I was really young. I didn't like them, but in a kind of messed up way, I think. I also felt good when I heard men say those things about me, because I felt acknowledged. I felt like I existed just because someone was seeing me and someone liked the way I looked. So I think that was the moment when I started really to base my perception of myself on what other people thought of me.
By the end of my introspection, which lasted for a good 2 hours, and during which I managed to polish off 2 packets of Doritos, I understood that I had no particular reason for coming here, apart from the fact that I really wanted to. All this led me to develop a habit that I now carry out on a regular basis. Sitting at my desk post-lunch and staring out of the window at the nothingness outside, I choose a moment from my life and ask myself, why did I do what I did?
All of our days feel exactly the same. I always say it's with new babies at the moment, it's just like Groundhog Day. They get up at the same time, have the bottles, have a bit of a play.
So you've been sober just over a year. What happened a year ago to kind of make you decide to take that path?
Basically, as it turns out, because I didn't realise it at the time, I'd probably been an alcoholic for about 40 years. I was rubbish at relationships with women, and I didn't trust people. So depression and anxiety and paranoia started. And then as a kind of self-medication to that, I found that alcohol was tremendous, because once you've had a couple of drinks, you know, you can forget all those demons and feel like $1 million for about 10 minutes. And, you know, the level of my drinking had gotten, I was drinking almost a bottle of whiskey a day. And one of the most unfortunate things about that is obviously other people's, and certainly in my case, my behaviour was absolutely horrendous. The last thing, which was really the end of the line for me, was when I took a knife out, because I was planning to hurt myself in a graveyard just around the corner, actually, from where I live. And a community officer who had a good relationship with saw me, and I kind of showed him that I had the knife, and I was making gestures across my throat and everything, basically being an absolute idiot. And, of course, the police came to arrest me. I'm an ex-social worker, and to my eternal shame, I was racist to a Muslim officer who was part of the arrest team. And after that, I realised that, you know, this is absolutely almost rock bottom for me.
Where does that come from? Like, how do you feel when you look back on that?
The knife or the racism?
The racism.
Yeah, well, that's why it still weighs heavily, because I'm not sure. I suppose my parents were a little bit like that, I guess. So maybe from them, really. I knew that some of those views that perhaps exist deep down in all of us to some extent, they needed to be rationalised and thought about. And actually, you tell yourself, well, yes, you probably are a racist, but actually you need to strive to become a better person.
The way that you describe yourself, you know, at the worst point, it sounds like you're quite a difficult person to like. And I wonder whether you like yourself more now, whether you like the new John.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I've learned the last few months of this year where I've been sober. You know, I've made real progress in my sort of self-esteem. I found out that, yes, actually, I do have decent qualities. And the best thing about everything with this program is that you're able to help others. And that's the most wonderful gift. And if you, as individuals or groups, can carve out little pieces of sort of joy and happiness and community, you know, that's something which will give you all a great protection, if you like, moving forward, but protection in a good way against society, which is often, you know, so challenging.
Bit by bit, the lies I have told myself to explain my own behavior begin to crumble. I realize I have not always been as kind as I thought. I just get a kick out of being magnanimous. Trying to reignite a ruined friendship was no act of bravery, but an act of cowardice, for I had mistaken toxicity for tenacity and compulsion for commitment. What I felt was love was no product of selfless attachment, but rather a case of refracted narcissism. It is not that I never introspected before, but what the coronavirus lockdown has led to is an introspection that is critical and complex, a deliberate stroll down memory lane, a long, sometimes brutal, sometimes beautiful, dissection of moments that mattered to me. While the mirror may not show how transformative regular introspection has been for me, my mind is keeping track of the changes.
For the first time, after kind of the initial shock, I'm starting to really reckon with the person I am. And yeah, I'm starting to build an identity, a personality that's not just based on the ideas people have of me.
Yeah. What is that personality? Like, what are you finding out about yourself?
Well, for example, I used to love reading as a kid, and I just stopped reading for a while because my life was so hectic. So I picked up reading again, and I've realized I really love it. I still love it. I love watching movies, Netflix. I love being cozy in my room with a cup of chamomile tea. I mean, obviously this is kind of a long time coming, but, you know, I think this period has forced me to face all of this, and I have not reckoned with all of this completely yet. But I think it's a good start.
Thank you for listening to Innermost. If you want to talk to me about your life, email me, including what you want to talk about, at innermost@theguardian.com. This episode was produced by me, Leia Green, and Esther Apoku-Jenny. Music and sound design is by Pascal Wise, and the executive producer is Max Anderson. Again, please get in touch to share your story. If you're in the UK and worried about your own or someone else's drinking, you can call Drinkline on 0300 123 1110 or visit aa.org. In the UK and Ireland, Samaritans can be contacted on 116 123 or by email joe@samaritans.org or .ie for Ireland. In the US, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. And in Australia, the Crisis Support Service Lifeline is 131114. Other international helplines can be found at befrienders.org. We'll include links to all those resources on the episode page at theguardian.com. See you next time.
Get ready to dust off your Maps app, because things are getting back to normal. You can hang out in a park until you need the loo. You can visit a friend's house and sit outside it. You can go to a theme park and ride socially distanced roller coasters. Okay, so things aren't going back to exactly how they were, but in some ways, that's not a bad thing. After all, lockdown's made us better at staying in touch with distant loved ones, be it video calling, online watching parties, or just using messaging to check in on people we care about. Stay close to the people that matter as we move back into the real world. Keep connecting with Vodafone's unlimited data plans. Make reaching out part of your new normal. 2 and 10 megabit speed caps apply to unlimited light and unlimited plans.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.